Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. A couple of brothers from another mother who, friendship that endures and shared on the radio. That's what we got here. Good morning, Jason Cairns.
Good morning.
I've been listening to the podcast of a guy that you know, Kurt Thompson.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's called the Being Known podcast. They've got the whole center for being known. But so he's got his partner who is kind of sets the thing up, who pitches him the softball, sort of.
Yep.
And his name is escaping me right now. Sweeney?
Pepper,
yeah.
Yep.
Pepper McSweeney, I believe his name is.
Yep.
And so Kurt calls him the most beautiful human. And so, I don't know, it's just kind of a cool dynamic. I've enjoyed it. In fact, future topics on the air here, they're like into the eighth season of the podcast, but there's plenty of material there for me to throw out to you for you to riff on.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a deep love for Kurt, so.
Tell that story about how you met him. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I was asked to be a respondent to his very first book, which was called Anatomy of the Soul, at a conference in Branson, Missouri. And I kind of went in with this idea of pointing out all the criticisms I had of his book. And then I had a very long, like about 3-hour dinner with him before the meeting, and I just fell in love with him. He is one of the I would say best humans I know. Mm-hmm. And just loved what he was saying. And I thought, boy, I'm going to have to scrap everything I was writing. And so we just developed a friendship after that and have gotten together at conferences. I also say he's probably the only co-speaker at a conference that I hug at the end of the at the end of the meeting. So
just kind of, you know, warm and friendly, and we've both talked about our fandom for Mr. Rogers. Now, let's see, you're a neuropsychologist. What is he?
He is a psychiatrist who specializes in interpersonal neurobiology, which is an area I've also had some interest in. So, yeah.
His podcast, I've been sharing it with people and touting it, and I said it's kind of like a guide through your inner life. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I don't know that I've read his most recent book, but his previous books I've read, and they're wonderful.
Was his third one was about desire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, good stuff there. Yeah, we had him on Front Page back in the day on that second one on shame. So.
Yep, on Soul of Shame. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good book as well. So.
But it's, you know, see, I trail behind you. I am the tortoise and you're the hare, so you're well down the trail on Kurt Thompson. I've just kind of awakened to his wonderfulness, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do work in that neuro area, so that probably does give me a little bit of a leg up in that regard.
You're a brainiac like him. But the thing is, like, what I wanted to say is he's kind of like Mr. Rogers, though, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely that manner comes across from him.
Which is a good, couldn't the world use more of that?
Absolutely it could. Absolutely could.
There's always so many topics. I've got an idea right now, but I'm going to resist. You know, it's kind of like we're on a trail, and then I see these different paths.
Yeah.
You understand how...
You're like the toddler that's rushing off into the bushes, like, hey, there's some berries. And yeah.
Oh, I'm so... Squirrel! I see a lot of squirrels.
Yeah.
All right. We're trucking right through 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter.
Yeah.
As if Jesus is coming this Sunday or something. But okay, we've got... Verses 20 through 28 today.
Yeah, it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come. He will turn to the kingdom of God over to the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power, for Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything everywhere.
Hmm. That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful. That's what I was thinking.
And what translation are you reading from?
That's the NLT.
NLT. I love the NLT. Yep. All right. Well, here's how Jason tackles 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28 in his devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. But the truth is that my son has been raised, fruit born out of death. His resurrection is a taste of things to come. Adam's sin brought death into the world. My son brought new life. Underline that in your copy of Letters to the Beloved. In Adam, every person dies, but my son reversed death, and in him, all are made alive. Jesus was first, of course, but he will not be the last. When he comes again, everyone who belongs to him will rise to live with me in my kingdom once more. You will not doubt who is the sovereign king. Death itself will bow to his command. I have placed the entire cosmos in his safekeeping. He rules everything, yet he rules within the Trinity and not over it. That is so good. It is so well written. I wish you'd be working on a new book, friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to. Yeah. I would love to have the motivation and energy to work on a new book.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate you continuing to prod me, because I think that's something that will eventually happen.
That would be great. Well, I've got suggestions if you want. You
know? I know you do.
Okay, but no, it's really good stuff in there. I mean, I that would be great for people if they have a copy. I mean, just read along. Our friend Jerome and others who have a copy and go through. I mean, it's just you read the scripture and then say, hey, what is the devotional comment? And it's just a help, right? Anything finally to close here?
Yeah, you know, I think that idea of God is in control of all things, right? And I believe he's reconciling all things. And I think we see a glimpse of that here.
Very good. Thank you.
You bet.
Here we go. We got to get out of here. All right. The Whip Wake Up Show is going to get a little sticky here because we've got peanut butter. Peanut butter personality traits. Now, I don't know about this. In a survey of people who eat peanut butter, 49% prefer it smooth, while 29% want theirs crunchy. The rest have no preference. Which are you, Sam?
I feel like I fall in that more vague category with having no preference.
Okay, you're a no preference.
It depends on the application.
Yeah.
I could enjoy it smooth. I could enjoy crunchy, depending on what I'm eating it with.
Yeah, I mean, I think peanut butter is peanut butter, but I prefer, as I've pondered it, because my wife is very strong on the crunchy side of things, and I prefer the smooth. So here we go. Let's take you through. This is what they say that goes with crunchy peanut butter eaters. And right from the get-go, it says they're more extroverted. I don't know. Really? I thought I'm an extrovert. I prefer the smooth. What else, Sam?
They also, crunchy peanut butter eaters take more risks in their personal and work life.
They're more likely to lean into confrontation.
Likely to arrive to work late.
Okay, really? You can tell that because you like crunchy peanut butter?
Interesting.
They're more likely to prefer going out on a Saturday night.
They're more goal-oriented.
All right. More likely to have been skydiving.
Has your wife been skydiving?
No, she hasn't.
Interesting.
And she's never run a marathon, which is the next one.
More likely to file taxes late.
Mm, and more confident. All right. What about us smooth peanut butter eaters, Sam?
Well, as opposed to crunchy peanut butter eaters being more extroverted, smooth peanut butter eaters, you guessed it, are more introverted.
I defy that. They take less risks in their personal and work life. That's probably true for me.
They're more likely to avoid confrontation. I can relate with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they're more likely to arrive to work early.
There you go. They're more likely to prefer staying in on a Saturday night.
They get more speeding tickets. Unfortunately, I've identified with that. But, Sam, I've been good. Since I got back in 2018 and got one shortly after arriving back from Africa, I'm almost 6 years without a speeding ticket. Would you please pat me on the back?
I will do that.
Thank you.
I will do that. I do not have any speeding tickets.
Way to go, Sam.
Yet.
Way to go.
More smooth peanut butter eaters are more likely to book a spontaneous trip and leave the same day. I have done this many, many times.
Okay. They're more likely to bail on plans.
And they're more hesitant across the board, it seems.
Wow. I don't know. For what it's worth, there you go. All right, so Whip Wake Up Show, Halvo and Sam today. Caleb's away, due back tomorrow. So pray and safe travels for him as he's hard at work while away today. And Sam, you're in here. We hear you on Saturdays. And I guess you've been all over the place lately, mid-mornings and... middays as well, but Also, people may or may not know, you had a stint where you went to Arkansas, lived in Arkansas for about half a year.
That's right. It is something I've mentioned from time to time when I've been on Saturdays. And just because that place, and I never saw this coming, but that place has become a very special place for me.
Yeah.
When I went and lived there for those 6 months, it was really kind of a retreat. In a way, there was a lot going on with family stuff here in Wisconsin, and I'd met my best friend, Bryce, who lives in Arkansas. I'd met him just a year or two before at a filmmaking camp out in Colorado.
Okay.
And we'd always talked about going to visit or even going to live down there with him. And you mentioned just a little bit ago, just to me, Mark, how that 18 to 22 can be a rather confusing... It can be. And so...
That doesn't mean you get it all figured out at 22, trust me.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, I, you know, in that time where I was figuring a lot of things out, it was good to just kind of escape and, you know, get to do it in another state. And I got real close with Bryce and his family and friends and... And yeah, just did some food service work while I was down there.
Okay.
I was involved in the theater. I used to do that a lot, and it was a really good time.
What did you like? What's one thing you really liked about Arkansas?
Well, this is gonna sound weird, but I like the rocks.
Huh?
It's a different terrain. Right, so Arkansas is known as, I think it's known as the Diamond State.
Okay.
So they've got a lot of natural cliffs and you know, it's not mountainous per se, but It's close to it. And I love it, you know. And one other thing that's a big draw to me is all my friends are homesteaders out there. So everyone's got their, you know, the house that they've built.
Okay.
They've got their animals and their gardens. And it's just a real simple way of life.
You like the people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's probably the biggest perk.
Right.
And yeah, a lot of great friends down there.
And you've had a few return trips.
That's right.
Yeah.
Since that original move down there and back, so August of 2021 was when I moved down there. I moved back in January of 2022. Uh-huh. Since then, I've been back to visit going on 4 times, I believe.
So you usually drive down?
Yes.
So that's kind of your home away from home.
It is. Yeah. It really is. That's what it's becoming. It's just kind of been a bit of a haven, if you will, with just really great, trusted, believing friends. And, yeah, just a great place to be.
So. They love their University of Arkansas sports, don't they?
I'm
a big sports guy.
So
yeah,
I'm
right,
not
right,
sure
right.
On that one,
yeah,
but,
okay. All right. Very good. All right, the Wake Up Show, WWIB. We've been excitedly looking ahead to the We Are Messengers, Ben Fuller, Jonathan Traylor concert Monday night at the Pablo Center in Eau Claire. And Halvo and Sam here on the Wake Up Show as Caleb's away today. But we've got Darren Mulligan, the lead singer of We Are Messengers, on the line from somewhere in Ohio. Darren, good morning.
Good morning. It's very vague, but I'm traveling more than any human ever should.
In fact, tell people what your last 48 hours has included.
Yeah, well, I woke up in my wee cottage in Ireland, and yesterday morning, had no time for breakfast, got straight to the airport, flew in, took me 18 hours, got to Nashville, jumped on a bus, fell asleep, woke up. I just had a Dunkin' wrap with bacon and egg, and then I called you guys. That's wow. The life side of the rich and the famous.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, we want to talk to you more about the concert, and we've got a listener who's got a question as well about your image of God with Vince Gill, but and really excited about the concert on Monday night. Looking forward to having you guys here. But we like to play rapid fire with guests everywhere from, you know, we've had a United States Senator on. We found out he liked Lucky Charms, and you never know. So are you ready for 60 seconds of get-to-know-you questions?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go with Darren Mulligan. Rapid fire starts now. Who's your hero?
Me dad.
All right, if you could live anywhere, where would it be?
Ireland.
What's your biggest fear?
Being a bad dad.
All right, what's your favorite family vacation?
Donegal in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. What would you change about yourself if you could?
I'd probably get a full head of hair.
What makes you really angry?
Injustice and unfairness.
What motivates you, Darren, to work hard?
The fact that I was a dead man and Christ rescued me.
Hmm. What's your favorite thing about being the lead singer of We Are Messengers?
The audience God has given us. I love watching the lights come on in their eyes.
What's the hardest part about your job?
Leaving my four babies and my beautiful wife.
And our last question, always, because I have a strong opinion on this one, does pineapple belong on pizza?
No, heck no.
Oh. It does, Darren, it does, but we love you anyhow. All right, it's the Whip Wake Up Show with Darren Mulligan. So that's not a big hit in Ireland, pineapple on pizza?
Some of my friends do it, and I always think they're kind of out of their minds, to be honest.
All right.
Like, the only thing worse than pineapple on pizza that I've ever had is potato on pizza.
Potato? Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you, Darren. And I'm a little starstruck right now, to be honest. It was real fun last year seeing you at One Fest here in the Chippewa Falls area. And I distinctly remember hearing you talk about Phil Wickham and making everyone so uncomfortable last year He's talking about Phil Wickham, and it was just great. The way you engage with the audience, it was real neat to see. I love that.
Yeah, you know what? I think for a long time in my life, I lived a very self-righteous Christian life where, you know, everything was way, way too serious. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there is a real lack of joy and laughter and engagement with audiences. And so for me, every show is different. I remember that show. The sunset was beautiful, actually. But what I remember is how engaged that audience were. Hmm. And I don't want to give them what we give the city before. You know, a lot of artists will roll through cities, play the same set, play the same songs, and say the same words. And I refuse to do that because every city is different. Every person is different. And so we want to give Holy Spirit room to have fun, to have a laugh. We want the audience to be entertained. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. And then ultimately, we really want those lights to come on in their eyes where they realize this Jesus actually is good news for someone like me. And so that's the whole function and purpose of the band is to really just, you know, be the soundtrack to people's lives as they walk towards Jesus.
That's a great message for people, for sure, in terms of Monday night's concert, for people who did see you, like Sam, and want to see you again, or others who missed out that previous OneFest visit. Jerome in Lublin messaging us in our listener line at 396-1670. His question, we threw it out to the listeners, and he said, how did that version of of Image of God with Vince Gill come about for We Are Messengers?
Yeah, that was amazing. I know Amy Grant fairly well, but I didn't want to ask her because, you know, the way when you want to get something, you don't want to ask like a friend and make that friendship weird. So, you know what? The record label called Vince's label. But here's what's really funny, and I don't know if I can tell this story. It was 3 or 4 weeks later, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and I was waiting for a call from my production manager. And so this number came in unknown. I assumed it was my production manager, and I started talking about speakers and PAs and lighting rigs and trucks and all this stuff. And about 4 minutes into the call, I realized this guy had no idea what he was talking about. And I realized I was talking to someone very different. So I said, excuse me. I said, are you Vince Gill? And he said, yes, sir, I am. And I almost fell out of my chair. I'd been rapping about a PA. And he was so lovely. I said, hey, we have this song. I'd love you to feature on it. And I said, have you heard the song? And he said, I've never heard the song. He said, but I've heard about you, and I've heard about your character and what you guys do and what you stand for.
Hmm.
And he says, whatever you guys are doing, I'm in on. And so we went over to the house, and what you hear in that version is just three men around a microphone, and Vince Gill just went for it, just very free-flowing. Absolute gentleman, one of the highlights of my career.
Hmm. So, Darren, yesterday when I heard about this upcoming interview for the first time, I drew a blank, and I said, wait, who is the lead singer for We Are Messengers? And so when I went on to good old Google, one of the first questions that came up there that caught me off guard was, what happened to Darren Mulligan? And it said something about some crazy car accident that you that you survived without a scratch. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, no, my life has been it's been wonderful and terrible and beautiful and awful. And since we've lived in America, we've had two terrible accidents. One was a bus crash where a bus caught fire on the side of the road and a man died, and that was early on in our career. And then last year, or sorry, 2 years ago, I think it was, I was heading to a show and there was an ice storm. And I had this beautiful old, 1987 Dodge Ram blue pickup with an old wood bed in the back. And I was driving down the freeway, 840 outside Franklin, and just hit some ice on a bridge and it went. And went all the way across the middle, up onto the other side of the freeway, and rolled the car 3.5 times in the ditch. And I ended up hanging upside down, cut myself loose, got out, scrambled, found my guitar. I was covered in Tennessee dirt. And I heard this guy coming down the side of the embankment, shouting, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm fine." He said, "We got to call an ambulance." And I said, "I've got to go to the airport because I was on the way to play this show." And so he took me in his car. He drove me to the airport. I went and played the show. Over 200 people came to know Jesus that night. And I was fine. But honestly, the other part of the story people never hear is that for about 6 months after that, my body started to shut down. I couldn't get out of a chair, couldn't walk, couldn't lift my kids. Just there was some inflammatory thing that happened to me afterwards, like a few weeks later. And went home to Ireland about 6 months after that. Asked God to make me well, and within 2 weeks, I've been absolutely perfect ever since. Just the goodness of God. Like, honestly, seeing I was sliding across the freeway, I wasn't afraid, I wasn't worried. It just felt like, oh, this is the next thing God has me to do. This is going to be cool.
Wow, that is amazing. Darren, we're so glad that you survived that. And what an adventure, a wild ride. Your life sounds like it has been and is. But as we close out here, we're so looking forward to Monday night. You've talked about how every concert is unique and every person. We appreciate that. But give us one last pitch for those who are on the fence, for those who have heard us for a month now talking about We Are Messengers and Ben Fuller and Jonathan Traylor. Talk about what they're in store for Monday night at the beautiful Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire, and why they should go to WIB.com and click on the banner on top of the page and save 25% by getting their tickets right now this morning. Why should they do that?
Well, it's a beautiful theater. It's a Monday night, but I promise you this show, if every Monday night we played, has felt like a Friday night. Like, it is a real good time for your family. It's also a real good time to invite people out who are tired of religion, burnt out on it, sick of it, and who really need to engage with Jesus in a very beautiful, raw, authentic way. The lineup is incredible. Ben Fuller, his testimony of coming out of substance abuse, suicidal ideation, and walking with Jesus. Jonathan Traylor, a man who's probably the greatest singer and entertainer in our business, if I'm being honest. I think it's an amazing night. If people are on the fence, get off the fence. It's a Monday night. It's going to feel like a Friday night, and we'll get you home in time for Christian bedtime.
That's a great line there. A Monday night that feels like a Friday night. Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much, Darren. We cannot wait to see you Monday night, the Pablo Center in Eau Claire. Safe travels in Ohio, okay?
Yeah, lad. Thanks so much for having us. Can't wait. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks so much. All right. And, I apologize. There was a listener who wanted to know if he liked ranch dressing on pizza. And I think I was still feeling the burn so much of his rejection of the pineapple that you and I like on pizza that I just couldn't bring it up again, Sam. So
yeah, well, I mean, there's always more interviews in the future. You know, we can add it to the rapid fire questions.
Yeah,
do you like the pineapple? And quick follow up with the ranch.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
Because I also do appreciate the ranch.
All right, we've got a kind of a potpourri of things, starting with the fact, a reminder that, Mother's Day is May 12th. We've been referencing that as we get ready for our Single Mom Saturday, and we'll start the fundraising for that coming up on Saturday. But I tell you what, I mean, if you want to give early, that would be fantastic. Learn more at WWIB.com. But turns out fewer than 5% of moms say they want candy on Mother's Day. That's not what they're looking for.
And not surprisingly, only almost 3/4 of dads 72% admit that they have problems choosing a Mother's Day gift.
Yeah, it turns out a survey reveals that a large number of moms would prefer digital gifts, in fact.
30% of moms still prefer flowers. Almost as many moms, 27%, would like to receive new gadgets like a smartphone.
Why not, Mom? Because that'll cost more. That'd be, you buy a lot of flowers for that. There you go. Speaking of that, what about chocolate? If mom is mentally drained, apparently mental arithmetic can become easier after eating chocolate.
Researchers testing the impact of different foods on brain performance found that
Flavanols,
a compound found in cocoa, increase the flow of blood into the brain.
There you go. This, they claim, makes certain mental functions like basic math easier to do.
It also means people feel less mentally drained after a long day. So maybe, you know, maybe chocolate doesn't fall under the candy that mothers don't want for Mother's Day. So maybe get them
some chocolate. Does your mom have a favorite type of chocolate?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Okay. My wife, it's dark chocolate. I don't know what my mom's is. She's a listener on the live stream in the suburban Milwaukee area. And finally, we're getting closer to the eclipse. Now, listen, the eclipse, the same day as the We Are Messengers concert, April 8th. Apparently, at least 31 million people will be in the path of the total solar eclipse on Monday. But it seems as if many will have to take their chances with the clouds apparently causing some problems.
Yeah, NASA is taking no chances as far as gathering scientific information during the event. So two WB-57 planes will fly southwest to northeast during the eclipse, spending 7 minutes in the shadow from an altitude where clouds are not a problem, rather than the 4 minutes the rest of us will have to contend with.
Wow, the planes will take off from Ellington Field near Johnson Space Center in Houston about 2 hours before the eclipse, fly down into Mexico, and race an eclipse moving 1,600 miles an hour while flying at a speed of 460 miles an hour. Wow, this is a big deal.
That's insane. And I think it's kind of morbidly hilarious how, you know, I hear a lot of people having travel plans to head down south to get a better view of the eclipse. And, you know, it would just be kind of ironic, I think, to go all that way and to have a very cloudy day for the eclipse.
I know.
You know?
I know of one science teacher, a high school science teacher, who is traveling, I think, from the Chippewa Valley to Texas, is what he told me.
No kidding.
To catch the eclipse. And so we wish all of you well. I saw that on the news last night. I mean, all these eclipse glasses, a big deal.
Sure.
Because you remember even an eclipse when you were a kid, right?
Yep. I think it was back in 2017. We were out on our farm in Fall Creek, and there was an eclipse. And it was, you know, everyone had to stay inside. Don't look at
right.
the sky.
That's the thing. Yeah, don't look with the naked eye.
It's really, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know, the effects that it can have.
But it's going to come and go in a hurry, so.
That's right. 4 minutes, that's it.